Blog Talk Radio.
As a parent, your child's safety is your top priority. Protect Your Children understands. That's why they provide a wide range of free online resources, including in-depth protection guidelines, zip code predator searches, video tutorials, and more to help you protect your children from predators online and off. Don't leave anything to chance. The resources you need to keep your children safe are easily available and they're free. Visit protectyourchildren.org to find the tools you need to protect your kids. That's protectyourchildren.org.
Protect Your Children Radio Show. We are glad that you are here. It is 8 p.m. and every Thursday at 8 p.m. you can find us here. Please share and tell your friends. Now, we have noticed from the statistics that there are not any live listeners, or maybe very few that are live listening at this time. So we're going to ask, as we've asked before, if you're listening to this on the podcast, if there's a better time that you would be able to listen, please let us know. And we're trying to figure out a good time so we can have live interaction with you out there, the passionate protectors that are listening to the podcast of the show. And we would really appreciate that. So again, my name is Chris Kelson. I am the director and lead teacher of Protect Your Children Incorporated. We are a nonprofit organization providing nationwide free resources to adults and kids to help them be protected from predators online and offline. Our mission statement is to protect children from molestation and kidnapping with the tools of education and awareness. We will accomplish this mission by providing free and not-for-profit and low-cost services to anyone who wants to protect children, regardless of race, creed, color, sex, religion, or politics. We will work as a team with other not-for-profit organizations to accomplish this mission. We do have Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. If you'd like to connect with us on there, we'd greatly appreciate that. And I gotta say, we have a small army of people on Facebook, on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/protectyourchildreninc, but you can also find the link on our website, protectyourchildren.org, protectyourchildren.org. But we have a small army of passionate protectors that are just liking and commenting and sharing the heck out of posts. And we are so thankful for that. And we cannot get the word out as effectively as we are without everybody who's liking and sharing and retweeting the posts that we put out there every single day. So for you, we have to say a big hearty thank you. Very thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. We really appreciate everything that you're doing out there, and we ask that you would continue to tell family, tell friends about Protect Your Children and our website, protectyourchildren.org, and share our pages on social media. So tonight we got a great show lined up. We are going to look at bullying tonight. Bullying. And you say, well, doesn't Protect Your Children focus on stopping sexual predators online and offline? Yes, that would be right. We do. And you would say, well, what does that have to do with predators? Well, there's a connection there. There's definitely a connection there because many young kids today are being bullied in a sexual manner. And it is being done through social media and in person and in the bathroom at school and on the bus and at the bus stop. It is a huge problem. And parents, you've heard the word bullying, and there's been great strides to try to eliminate bullying. But with the rise of technology and kids being allowed to have their smartphones on them at all times, in class and everywhere, the bullying has gone pretty quiet in front of the faces of the teachers, and it has moved online. But that is even more dangerous because at least when it was in front of people, you knew it was going on. But as you know, parents, your kids do not always tell you what is happening on their phones. In fact, most of the time, they probably don't. And if you're not being nosy, then you're not going to know either. So we're going to look at bullying tonight. We're going to look at the different types of bullying, how to identify the signs of online or in-person bullying, what you can do about it, how you can prevent it, and what to do if your child is the one who's the bully. So we're going to look at that tonight. And Talking with Topher, episode 10. We're going to get to the bottom of what's going on with Topher's dad. And also, Topher has a big surprise from his mom. Will we find out what that is? Well, you'll have to stay tuned until later. We're Talking with Topher, episode 10. And we thank you for everybody that is, again, liking and posting and retweeting and sharing the posts about Topher. The kids are listening to Topher and they like Topher. And that is our goal, is to communicate protection to parents and the kids, but in this kind of a animated, cartoonish, fun fashion. And so we ask that you would continue to let people know about Talking with Topher. All the episodes are available on our website, protectyourchildren.org, on the videos page. They are also available on YouTube. And you can obviously share those videos. And it's a great way for kids to learn how to be protected and be entertained while they're being protected. So thank you for that in advance. And we have a missing child alert tonight. This is in Florida. This is a 15-year-old boy from Pasco County. The police say he is endangered. His name is Cody Almengor Gatica. He's from Newport Richey, Florida. He's been missing since March 10th, 2021. March 10th. Imagine that. That's just very recent. March 10th, yesterday, 2021. So the article here says a Florida missing child alert has been issued for a 15-year-old Pasco County boy who went missing. Cody Almengor Gatica was last seen in the area of Bridgewater. In Newport Richey, wearing a white hoodie and gray jean shorts. He's 5'6" tall, weighs 150 pounds, and has black hair and brown eyes. The Newport Richey police said he is considered missing and endangered, and further details about the circumstances surrounding his disappearance have not been released. Anyone with information concerning his whereabouts is asked to call 911 or the Newport Richey, Florida Police Department at 727-841-4550. But if you want to Google, please Google or even look on social media, look up Cody Almengor Gatica. That is Almengor Almengor dash Gatica, Gatica. Newport Richey, Florida. He is 15, recently gone missing. The police are considering him endangered. And obviously, we want to bring him home. So please, if you would look him up and share his photo, share the details, share whatever's out there on your social media, get it out to as many people as you can. And also, I want to tell you that you can go to our website, protectyourchildren.org. There's a page link for missing children by state. And you can click on that page, and then you can click on your state, and it'll bring you to a page that has all the children currently missing from your state. And you can kind of peruse through that. And we encourage you to even share that link. We put out a call last week, more of a concern about people not visiting that page. And that's fine if there's other avenues, and there are other websites that have that information. But if you go to our site and you see the listings there, please share those pages with people on social media. Most of these kids, as we've said, by the friends and the family are not forgotten about, but to the general public, they are. The general public forgets. And that's a problem, because we'd be nuts if we thought that the police were continuing to work actively on every single missing child case. They just can't do it. They're not doing it. Now, that doesn't mean the cases are closed, which basically means if somebody has a tip or makes a connection, sees something that seems a little strange, they can contact it and they will follow up on the tip. But to think that there's detectives sitting behind a desk right now, actively looking, excuse me, for every child that's gone missing, is unreasonable to believe that. So, but certainly we are the eyes and ears to help bring these kids home. So we ask that you would definitely look up Cody Almagor Gattaca, Newport Richey, Florida. Help to bring him home, please. So what I want to do tonight for our Hero Kids segment is I want to tell you about an organization called Kids Helping Kids. And we came across this and it was so encouraging and so powerful. I want to play a promo for Kids Helping Kids. Now, I haven't researched them too much, just enough to know that they are a legit nonprofit organization. They're doing a lot of great work, but I'm not sure if they have locations everywhere. I know their main headquarters is Connecticut, but certainly you can look them up and also look for other nonprofit organizations similar to theirs. Now, what Kids Helping Kids do is they basically turn passion into action, and they look for kids that want to make a difference. Kids that want to be heroes in the lives of other people, lives that are less fortunate than theirs, and they have projects that they work on. They run everything from baked goods drives to doing work projects for people who can't, and these kids just love what they're doing. They're making a huge impact called Kids Helping Kids, and I want to play that promo for you right now, so please take a listen. Kids Helping Kids.
At Kids Helping Kids, you've got a bunch of kids at a bunch of different ages of a bunch of different ethnicities from a bunch of different schools all coming together to affect a change and be a part of something that they truly care about.
I like that the kids do most of the work themselves, and even though there are adults supervising, it's all the kids' ideas and the kids' projects.
The kids really own the projects from beginning to end.
It was incredible. I've never seen so many teens so well organized and driven. They all had a purpose there. They all knew what they were doing. And they were all excited to do it.
We look at the volunteer, the youth, and say, what is it that you're passionate about? What would you like to do? And around that, we match them with the needs out in the community.
The skills that I see them developing are leadership skills and the real ability to take what they love and to turn it into something that serves other people.
I can see them gaining self-confidence, just beginning to realize their own potential to change other people's lives, to be a leader.
I've always been quiet, and being with Kids Helping Kids has actually helped a lot because it's where I have to speak up most, and it's where I have to share my opinions with everyone.
What's really amazing when you go to some of the meetings they have is when you start seeing the ideas they have and how wonderfully creative, intelligent, and provoking they are.
I think it helps them to reach beyond themselves, to look at the world around them, to see what's happening in their communities, to see how they personally can make a difference by getting involved.
I would say that Kids Helping Kids is this amazing grassroots organization that sprang up through the kids themselves, and that these are our future leaders.
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is really the power of us kids as a whole and really what we can do.
I think what you've created with Kids Helping Kids is unlocking in each kid the DNA that they already have, that leadership skill, that ability to be an agent for change that's within them, but they need somebody to unlock that for them.
It's a great way to become a leader and be who you want to be.
It is a group of kids who come together and make an impact, and they do that in so many different ways.
And I've watched that over and over again, whether it was the shoe store or launching libraries or the bread bake. They get together and they're so passionate about it. It's amazing for me.
I was always a person that wanted to help out in some way, but it never really touched me as it has with Kids Helping Kids, because you don't necessarily see the full scale of, you know, what goes on until you're actually there.
Most neediest, vulnerable population are children. So what a wonderful opportunity that those who have can help those who are in need.
There's no stopping how much they can help if we use the model that we take their passion and turn it into action.
Our kids are richer for it, and they're making the kids that they work with richer.
I'd say if you're really, truly interested in helping people, this is where you should be.
That is fantastic. Isn't that encouraging? And you can find their promo on YouTube and other places online. And when you see the looks on these kids' faces, in fact, the boy at the end who was saying he was never really sure how to help, he had tears in his eyes because he was so moved by being able to help people that are less fortunate and make a difference and make an impact, even in his little world. And that's what the Hero Kid segment is all about. And parents, this is a call to you to let your kids make a difference. A lot of kids kind of get lost in the electronics today and the social media and the drama at school and everything else that's going on around them. But if you give them an opportunity to help the less fortunate, you give them an opportunity to make a difference, to help change lives. You talk about building their self-confidence, building a sense of self-worth and achievement and self-esteem makes a huge, huge difference. So parents, we call on you to encourage your kids to do that. You know, even if you go to a local food pantry or a local homeless shelter, something, look online. Like Kids Helping Kids, their website is kidshelpingkidsct.org, kidshelpingkidsct.org. I believe the CT is Connecticut. So if you're not in Connecticut, you can look and see if there's other organizations like theirs that are making the difference. And there are. There's lots of great organizations that are making a difference in communities. Get your kids involved and help them to become hero kids. Absolutely. All right, so our news segment tonight is going to be, there's some shocking victim statistics that I want to share with you tonight. And you say, well, wow, man, that's a bummer. Why do we got to hear the stats, man, you know? Well, here's the thing. We understand that there is a sense of apathy out there. I will share with you that me and my co-director worked on drafting letters, and we sent them out to 100 different churches throughout a pretty good sized area. Had our pamphlet in it. The letter was letting them know about the organization, asking if there's ways we can come and speak there or they can help us out, whatever, even if they just put our website in their bulletin, something to that effect. Would you know that we got zero responses from that? Now, this isn't a religious show, but just as an idea, you know, if the churches aren't stepping up to help protect kids, that really says something about the culture. But you see, what happens is, oh, it's a sensitive topic. Oh, it's really up to the parents to do on their own. Right? But 100 different churches and not one responded. Not even to say, nah, no thanks, touchy subject. Nothing. And that's eye-opening. And just in the same fashion, there are parents out there that are very apathetic to this whole thing. There are parents who think that it'll never happen to their kid or that think that they already know everything and that their kid's always going to tell them everything. And I'm sorry, parents, that's just not what the stats show. And we know that's uncomfortable to hear. But as an organization that's committed to protecting kids, we're not going to sugarcoat the truth. The truth is kids are in danger. Kids are in danger from the local level all the way up to the federal government level. And yes, I said it. And our followers on Facebook certainly know that as well. There's danger in the school system. There's danger in the Boys and Girls Clubs. There's danger everywhere. Now, that doesn't mean that every single person, again, every single adult wants to hurt your kid. That's not what we're saying. But you have to look everywhere. And your kids have to be fully aware and fully educated on the warnings and the lookouts, the personality traits of these predators. They have to know this stuff. And parents, you have to know it too. But as I mentioned, we get a whole lot of people liking, but not looking. Mentioned that last week. Now, there are, like I said at the beginning, that army of people that are committed, that are like on every post, and they're sharing, and they're sharing. We have a post currently running right now in a particular area of Florida about Zachary Bernhardt. He is one of the kids we featured on the missing child segment earlier back. He's been missing since 9/11 of 2000, and he would now be 28. There are some questionable circumstances, the police would say, about his disappearance. The Amber Alert is still active in the state of Florida. It's been running 20 years, and we're doing some posts in particular areas, and we put that up yesterday, and that post has already been shared over 350 times, and we're thankful for that, seen by over 10,000 people. But you see, it's 20 years later, but we believe that nobody should ever give up on these kids. Until, God forbid, you hear the worst news, you never give up. You never stop looking. You never stop. Why isn't there more people? We're a nonprofit organization. We are donation funded only. And we're paying to promote advertisements and posts to get it out to people to help spread awareness for these kids that are missing 20 years after they're missing. Why are not organizations, bigger ones? Why are not corporations? Why aren't wealthy individuals continuing to do what they can and keeping these kids' faces in the public? Way too many have been forgotten about. Way too many. So there is an apathy out there. And there are parents that don't understand the true dangers and the extent of it that's out there. So I'm going to share these stats with you real quick. And then we'll go to the bottom of the hour break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the bullying, how to identify it, how to prevent it, what to do about it, and what to do if your child is the bully. And we'll also have Talking with Topher, episode 10, coming up after the bottom of the hour break. So we want to tell you that a common myth is that child sexual abuse is perpetrated by strangers and pedophiles. But most people who sexually abuse children are our friends, partners, family members, and community members. About 93% of children who are victims of sexual abuse know their abuser. That's 93% know their abuser. And less than 10% of sexually abused children are abused by a stranger. See, less than 10. So it's not the creepy dude down the street with the long trench coat. We all remember that. Less than 10%. And with the rise of the internet and gaming platforms, predators get greater access to kids and will most likely befriend them online as a first step to meeting them in person. Children are at a heightened risk for sexual violence. Nearly 70%, right? 70% of all reported sexual assaults occur to children ages 17 and under. 70% of kids are 17 and under. One in four girls and one in six boys will be sexually abused before they turn 18. One in four girls and one in six boys will be sexually abused in some fashion before they turn 18 years old. 12% of women were age 10 or younger at the time of their first rape or victimization. 10 or younger. And 30% of women were between the ages of 11 and 17. Do we have a problem here? Yes, we do. Is there an apathy out there about it? Yes, there is. More than one-third of women who report being raped before age 18 also experience rape as an adult. Survivors of child sexual abuse are also more likely to experience rape and intimate partner violence in adulthood. More than one-third of women, say that again, who report being raped before age 18 also experience rape as an adult. Survivors of child sexual abuse are more likely to experience rape and intimate partner violence in adulthood. 96% of people who sexually abuse children are male. 76% are married men. And 76.8% of people who sexually abuse children are adults. You realize that's not 100% are adults? Because the average age of a predator is about 14 or 15 when they first start molesting or preying on kids. So 76.8% of people who abuse children are adults. The rest are kids, older kids. That's older cousins. That's older friends in the neighborhood. Now, the stats here, the younger the victim, the more likely it is that the abuser is a family member. Of those molesting a child under six, 50% were family members, and family members also accounted for 23% of those abusing children ages 12 to 17. Abusers tend to utilize a manipulative process called grooming in order to gain the family's and the victim's trust, providing them with more access to the child. Grooming behaviors may include special attention, outings and gifts, isolating the child from other people. They refuse to spend time with other adults and other friends, and they want that one-to-one time alone. They treat the child as if he or she is older. They gradually cross physical boundaries and become increasingly intimate and sexual. Child sexual abuse can have lifetime impacts on survivors, especially without support. It can impact educational outcomes, lead to heightened symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, higher suicidal rate, drug abuse, higher likelihood of teen pregnancy, and chronic health issues. Now listen to this. More than 90% of girls in juvenile justice systems self-disclose trauma. In fact, justice-involved girls are victimized by sexual violence at an earlier average age and for a longer average duration than other forms of abuse. Now, in primary care settings, physical or sexual abuse in childhood is reported by approximately 20 to 50%. You say, why is that such a 20 to 50? That's huge. Because there are recants. There are a lot of people who don't disclose, so that number varies, but reported by approximately 20 to 50% of adults. Among patients with depression, irritable bowel, chronic pain, or substance abuse, prevalence of reported childhood physical or sexual abuse runs as high as 70%. It's time to wake up. We got to wake other people up. This culture of music and video and movies and social media are bombarding our children with sexual images, language, and talk. And they are going for the youngest age they can, which is why there is no age verification on any of the popular apps that the kids use. Now, we'll give a short kudo prop to Instagram because they are systematically going through a lot of profiles, and they're making kids verify their identity. And if they can't, they're deleting their accounts because you have to be 13. So if you're 13 on Instagram or Facebook Messenger, then it's okay to be bombarded by strangers. And yeah, I don't get it. But that's up to the parents. So please, parents, we don't know everything. You don't know everything. Your kids sure as heck don't know everything. So you have to continue to learn. This is why we do this show every week. This is why we produce videos. This is why we tweet and post on Facebook every day. Each thing that we post is an opportunity to learn a little bit more and protect your kids a little bit more. That's what we're committed to doing. That's our mission. And we do that with your help. And we want to thank you in advance for that. So we're going to go to the commercial break here. When we come back, we're going to get into bullying and a little Talking with Topher, episode 10. So we'll be right back. This is Chris Kelson with the Protect Your Children radio show. By the way, if you want to call in, the number is 563-999-3645. 563-999-3645. And we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
Imagine the world as a bully-free place where kids could be themselves without all the judgment, where students wouldn't laugh at each other, and kids would stop being bystanders and stick up for one another, where cyberbullying isn't a thing. Imagine a world where there was a change, where kids can feel accepted, and where bullying wasn't a thing. Stop bullying and be the change you want to see in the world.
We do everything we can to protect our kids. When 1 in 9,800 children drown and 1 in 360 suffer a bike injury, it's only natural to do what we can to prevent anything bad from happening. But did you know that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys is sexually abused before the age of 18? Like wearing a helmet, prevention through education is the most important thing we can do to protect our children.
Thanks for staying with us through the bottom of the hour break. This is Chris Kelson, the director and lead teacher of Protect Your Children, Inc. Website is protectyourchildren.org, protectyourchildren.org. So we want to get into the bullying aspect here. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there is a connection with bullying and predators. And let me lay that out. First, there is sexual bullying. And with the culture today, with the music lyrics and the videos and the TikToks, it's meant to make it look like the kids that forcing yourself on a woman is okay, or on a girl, because we're talking about kids here. You know, that touching them is just funny, sexually joking with them is okay. It's promoting a normalization of sexual activity with young kids. And what happens is if you have a child that's not willing to take part in that, that says, nah, I ain't interested in all that stuff, they can be bullied. In the same way that someone who won't do drugs gets bullied and peer pressured. See, I think peer pressure is a type of bullying. Would you agree? And so with the culture promoting, they're even promoting pedophilia now. Like it's funny and normal. It's just it's just somebody's, you know, sexual preference. Are you kidding me? But this is what's being promoted out there. And there's a lot being done in the schools about bullying that the teachers can see, you know, about making fun of kids, you know, bumping them in the hallway when you're walking by or smacking them upside the head, you know, when you're sitting behind them in class, things like that. The physical in front of the face bullying, there's a lot being done. There's zero tolerance for it in a lot of the school systems. But the teachers cannot see what's happening on social media in between these kids. And most of the time, the kids aren't talking about it. So there is sexual bullying. And then also, if you have a child that's being bullied, their self-esteem and their self-confidence or self-worth just plummet. And that makes them more at risk from a predator. Because evil will have it that this person will pop into their life and say, it's wrong that those kids are bullying you because you're an awesome person. And you know, and take this special interest in them. Now, there are decent adults out there. Don't get us wrong. But predators wrap themselves within groups of people. And you have to know the warning signs to be able to identify them. And all those warning signs and personality traits of predators is found in our free PDF of protection guidelines, which we offer from our website. But kids that are bullied are at a higher risk of being abused. So we have to be able to identify it, learn what we can do about it, and how to help our kids when they're being bullied. So what is bullying and how do we identify it? Well, Anna Sand is a licensed clinical social worker with UT Physicians. Anna answered some common questions related to identifying bullying behavior and what to do about it. So somebody said, what is bullying? She says, bullying is repeated, unwanted, and aggressive behavior towards peers who are perceived as younger, smaller, or less powerful. Bullying can be verbal, social, or physical. Verbal bullying is saying or writing harmful things in the form of teasing, taunting, or threats. Social bullying involves damaging someone's reputation or relationships through rumors, exclusion, or embarrassment. Physical bullying consists of injuring a person's body or property. See, and that's the thing, the writing part, you know, back, you know, adults, parents, we're old, right? So back in our day, if you wrote something to bully somebody, it was on a piece of paper. Yeah, it probably got found out and passed around, teacher found it, and you got embarrassed and got in trouble. Well, today it's all quiet, right? It's all done over the phone, in between the apps. And they can do it on Snapchat because once it's sent, the person reads it, it just deletes. So there's no proof of it anyway. Thank you, Snapchat, for hurting our kids, along with their partner, TikTok. Let me read this again. Bullying is repeated, unwanted, and aggressive behavior towards peers who are perceived as younger, smaller, or less powerful. Bullying can be verbal, social, or physical. Verbal bullying is saying or writing harmful things in the form of teasing, taunting, or threats. Social bullying involves damaging someone's reputation or relationships through rumors, excluding them, or embarrassment. And physical bullying consists of injuring a person's body or property. Children can be bullied before, during, or after school, especially during school activities or on the way to and from school. Bullying can also occur day or night through electronic means, including social media, instant messaging, and texting. And of course, that is known as cyberbullying. So how do you recognize the signs of bullying? While victims of bullying can present physical injuries and symptoms, such as nausea, fatigue, changes in appetite or sleep, anxiety, irritability, withdrawal, decreased self-esteem, loss of interest in people and activities that were once enjoyed, and increased rates of school absence. Let me read those again. Victims of bullying can present physical injuries and symptoms such as nausea, fatigue, changes in appetite or sleep, anxiety, irritability, withdrawal, decreased self-esteem, loss of interest in people and activities that were once enjoyed, and increased rates of school absence. Parents, if you're seeing this in your kids, any of these, they may be being bullied and you don't know. Cyberbullying victims may have noticeable changes in device use. They may have strong emotional responses or avoid discussions about what they are doing on their device. They may also hide their device when others are near, shut down social media accounts, or start new accounts. Parents, this is why you have to know what your kids are doing on their phones. A lot of kids are embarrassed and they're afraid to say they're being bullied. They're afraid of looking weak. They're afraid of people getting in trouble. They're afraid of the snitches get stitches. And I'll tell you what, if they're being bullied and they're not getting help and it continues to happen, this is how kids end up killing themselves, parents. This is what happens. And then the parents look back and go, why didn't we see it coming? Because they didn't ask. They didn't nosy. They didn't look at the constant month after month after month beating that their kids were taking on social media or in their messages or on their phones. Listen, parents, we love you. We know it's hard work. But this is a call to action. I myself was bullied when I was in school, up until I learned martial arts. Changed things a little bit. But still today, if I'm driving past the bus stop or when kids are getting out of school, I can spot a kid being bullied from a distance. Because I know what it feels like. And I was one that didn't tell anybody. I just dealt with it. Became increasingly irritable and angry at home. And parents never thought to ask, hey, why is your behavior changing so much? What's going on? So look for strong emotional responses and avoiding discussions about what they're doing on their device. That's key. And if they're hiding their devices when others are near and they're shutting down social media accounts and creating new ones, it could be an indication that there's some cyberbullying happening there. So what if your child is the person bullying others? What? A parent can change a child's behavior by talking to them and helping them understand what bullying is and why it is problematic. A parent can be a central positive role model to assist the child in learning constructive ways to handle anger, conflict resolution, and treating others with respect. I think this is called parenting. Increased supervision is necessary, and assisting a child to enhance or develop personal interests can be a vital way to learn socially acceptable and useful life skills. It is important to set firm and consistent limits on your child's behavior, including explaining the good and bad outcomes of their actions and helping them solve problems, providing structure, and taking away privileges for negative behavior. Those are all important. And we know that kids that have been that are bullies usually were bullied before they became the bullier, right? So the bully was probably bullied, and then they became the bully. Because the built-up anger and resentment that they have that never got noticed, talked about, or dealt with, they now take out on other weaker, smaller kids. If your kid is one that's bullying others, talk about how they're making others feel. And look deeply into their lives and see why they feel they need to do that. Have a talk with them. So we're going to pause there for a minute. Take a breather. And we're going to have episode 10 of Talking with Topher. Talking with Topher. What is happening with Topher's dad? We're going to find out here in just a minute. And Topher's got a big surprise coming. Gee, I hope it's not a cliffhanger at the end. After talking with Topher, we'll wrap up on what you can do to help your child who is bullied. And how can you prevent bullying from happening? So we'll get to that right after Talking with Topher, episode 10. Hey, Topher. Do you know why I picked you up today?
No, not really. Where are we going?
Well, it's kind of a surprise. We are going to meet your mom somewhere. And she said it was something that you really, really like.
Really? I don't know what it could be.
Yep. She's going to get you something, and she actually wanted me to help. So we're going to go there together, and you're going to be totally shocked.
Wow, I can't wait. How far is it?
I don't know. It's only about maybe 5 or 6 minutes away.
Wow, that's close. Can I give me a hint of what it is?
I really can't do that. But, you know. So anyway, while I got you in the car on the way there, your mom wanted me to kind of talk to you about something.
Okay, what's your mom talking to me about?
So what's going on with your dad? You mentioned several times that he's kind of scary.
Yeah, he does. Like, that's really scary.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, he gets kind of angry, and he starts yelling and stuff, and then sometimes I think he's kind of hit me.
Wow. Has he ever hit you before?
No, but he's come close a couple times, and I'm afraid he's going to do it.
Well, hopefully that won't happen, Topher. Your mom's pretty protective over you, so I don't think she'll let that happen. But why do you think he gets so angry like he does?
I don't know. He feels someone that he's stressed out at work and that he's tired all the time. And also, he's always...
Always what, Topher?
Well, I don't know if I should tell you this because I don't want him to get mad at us.
Topher, you know I'm not going to tell him that you told me this. Is there something you need to talk about?
Well, he's always drinking.
Drinking? Drinking what?
Well, he always drinks beer, like, all the time. And, he come home from work, and then he'll sit down and he'll open the beer. And then on the weekends, he wants to drink more beer. Sometimes I think that's wrong. He doesn't hang out real well, because he just wants to drink his beer.
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, sometimes when people do that, that's how they relax. It's not good for them, but that could be what it is. Hold on, let me turn down the radio a little bit so I can hear you better. So, the times he gets angry, is it mostly like when he's been drinking the beer?
Well, I think so, because like in the mornings, he's not like that, but at nighttime, he always gets angry and just says, leave him alone because he's tired and stuff.
I'm sorry to hear that, Topher. You think that could be why he doesn't like hang out with you?
Well, I think that's what it is.
Well, then you know it's not because he doesn't like you. It's just that he's drinking that beer.
Well, Barbara, how come he likes beer more than me?
Well, Topher, if he has an addiction, that's kind of what addiction does. So, does he ever have a lot of friends come over and stuff, and they kind of drink beer together and hang out?
Well, it happens a lot of times, especially when my mom goes out with her friends. Then my dad will have a lot of friends come over, and they'll just hang out. They get really loud, and they'll drink beer and watch the game and stuff like that.
Wow, so what are you doing when this is going on?
Well, I try to hang out, but a lot of times they tell me that I can't hang out with them. So I just go upstairs in my room. And then, well, there's been a couple of times where this one gal who, like, comes upstairs and then comes to my room to talk to me and tells me I can come downstairs and hang out with them. And then if I do, then my dad just yells and tells me to go back upstairs.
Well, that's kind of confusing. So, when they're hanging out and they're drinking and doing all this stuff, this guy, that when he comes upstairs to talk to you, like, does he want to hang out with you at all?
I don't know. I think he does because he tells me I can come downstairs. And then there was one time where he was in my room talking to me for like 10 minutes. And I don't think anybody realized he was not even down there.
Really? That's kind of scary, right? I mean, so your mom was out, and your dad's drinking and hanging out with these guys, and one of these guys comes upstairs to talk to you for like 10 minutes, and your dad doesn't realize he's up there?
Wow, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Did this guy ever talk to you about anything sexual or try to do anything to you?
Well, he makes jokes sometimes, and like sexual jokes and about girls and stuff like that, and sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, that could be a dangerous sign. You know, Topher, when parents are drinking and they're doing drugs and they're having parties, they can't really keep an eye on you. And so that can put you at risk of other people actually hurting you or predators coming into your house and doing stuff to you. And parents need to realize that if they're drinking and doing drugs and having people around, that you could be in danger.
Well, I don't know. I told my mom that my dad has people come over, but she says that it's okay, that she knows everybody.
Yeah. Still kind of dangerous, though, but you know, maybe you can talk to her about that.
Well, maybe I will, because it is kind of uncomfortable for me.
Well, that is one of the ways that predators get to kids. It's usually somebody that the family knows. So that's a good possibility. You might want to talk to her about it.
Okay, I will. Now, where are we going?
Well, we're just about there. The surprise is about to happen.
Oh, whoa, I can't wait. Oh, wait a minute. Is that where we're going, right there?
It sure is.
Wow, I can't believe it.
No, it's a cliffhanger. Man. So what is being learned? There's a lesson for parents and for kids with talking with Topher. Did you catch what it is? Like it, share it, tell others about it. Important lessons that Topher's learning in his journey through life. So how do you help your child who's being bullied? If there's been a change in your child's mood or behavior, explore what may be happening. Listen to your child, support them, and be willing to take action to make sure the bullying doesn't continue. Help your child learn how to respond by talking out ways to handle the situation. If it happens again, see? You got to teach them what they can do. And parents, there are ways that bullies can be trapped. Bullies can be trapped without it being obvious that the kid's told. And you can look into those different ways. And schools will work with you on that, but you got to reach out and say, hey, he or she's afraid of getting beat up by these kids, so we can't kind of let them know that he or she told, but how can we kind of catch them in the act? Well, what are the most common places it happens, ask a child. During what periods? During what times of day? And all that can be shared with teachers and security people, and they can happen to be there around those times and catch the bully person in action. So there's lots of things that can be done. You just have to look at the different ways that you can handle it. So you can help your child learn how to respond by talking out ways to handle the situation. Encourage your child to stay calm, walk away, reply with assertive comments saying no, or please don't talk to me like that. I don't like what you're doing. Why would you say things like that? Understand when to not respond or to cut off electronic communication with the bully. And show any harmful electronic communication to a parent or other trusted adults at school. There's your proof. Help your child understand when and who to ask for help. Encourage your child to make friends with other children through supervised group activities. Support activities that your child has an interest in to build self-esteem and healthy social skills. We talked about that earlier. Being a hero kid. Write down and report all bullying to your child's school. By understanding when and where the bullying happens, you and your child can be better prepared if it happens again. If you feel that the situation is too difficult to handle on your own, ask for help from your trusted support system, a teacher, a counselor, a pediatrician, or other professional. Now, how can you prevent it? Well, even if you don't think your child is being bullied, or is a bully, or a witness to bullying, you can help your child by keeping lines of communication open. Check in with your child often. Listen to them and understand their concerns. And parents, don't just take the, how was school? Good. Okay, cool. Okay, 98% of the kids are going to say good every time you ask them. How was everything at your friend's house? Good. How was school? Good. How was your after school activity? Good. That's the quick way out. Don't just settle for good. Why was it good? How was it good? What's the good thing that happened? See? Talk with them often. Listen to them. Understand. Talk to your child about what bullying is and that bullying is unacceptable. Discuss ways your child can stand up to bullying safely and urge your child to help others as they may observe being bullied. Supervise their online time and monitor what sites they're visiting. Be nosy. Require your child to befriend you on social media sites and share passwords with you. Encourage your child to do what they love through hobbies and activities and interests, and this can help boost their confidence, make friends, and protect them from bullying behavior. Talk through difficult experiences with your child so they know that you can be trusted to help and provide loving support. So there's lots of things that can be done. So now you know how to identify it, what you can do about it, how to help your kids be stronger from bullying. And we encourage you at the end of the program here to share the podcast, help other parents and kids be educated and made aware of this issue. Parents, we love you out there. We know you're working hard. We know times are tough. We may be firm, but we're standing with you to keep you safe. Visit our website, protectyourchildren.org, any way that you can. List of ways there that you can help out. The more we work together, the more work we can do to keep kids safe online and offline from predators. We thank you, and until next week, this is Chris Gelson saying good night and keep protecting.